We did that one song this morning, the old Tim Hughes tune, Here I Am to Worship, that starts with Light of the World.
Amen.
You stepped out into darkness. And that idea has been brought up for the last at least 6 weeks, either during worship or during a message where we've talked about God the Father being unwilling. He will not quench that fire. He will not, that burning ember, that smoldering wick that's just about to burn out, he will not just lick his fingers and squeeze it and put it out. He doesn't give up. And, you know, I've been thinking about the idea of the light of the world and how we've been called to be the light. And unless we've been living under a rock, we haven't been ignorant of what's been taking place in the nation regarding Supreme Court nominee and everything surrounding that issue. And maybe we all have our opinions, we all have our thoughts of what went on and what was going on and how it turned out. And maybe we're upset, or maybe we're happy. But that doesn't really matter. And we're not going to talk so much about that, about the outcome or everything that took place up to it. Because it's all done. That's over. We're in the next phase. But as Jesus has called you and I to be the light of the world, how many times are we not lit? And I don't mean lit, you know. I mean burning bright. Yeah. How many times are we're not that light? We're not that light. And I do that at work, where I hide the light because I let too much of Keith out. You know, I don't know if you guys let yourself, that part that Jesus died for, you know, do you get worked up a little bit? And I have a lot of passion. The Bible says in the Proverbs that passion is like rottenness to the bones. Ooh. That it certain passion, not like the passion of the Christ, not that kind, but things that we are passionate about that we shouldn't be. It's hard to explain.
What, for example, like what would you should you not be passionate about?
Well, like division, stirring up anger between people, causing trouble. You know, like I'm passionate about politics and the news, and a lot of times I'll just put my opinion out there, and it won't be in a kind and loving way. Okay.
And that's a passion.
And yes, okay. yes, and like with music. There can be music and art. Things that are is the word
that.
Subjective?
Right. No, I understand things that, the music and the art. And
things that are subjective to ourselves, okay? And we take our opinions, our ideas about it, and try to force them on other people.
We expound on them.
And being overly so. Being overly so to the point of causing problems. So that passion can be rottenness to the bones. So if I go that route, if I say those things or do those things and cause a rift between myself and another human being, that's where rottenness comes in. That's where it's... But if I have the same passion that Jesus has, which is based in love, not love of self, but love of others, that's when the light shines. Okay? I hope you get where I'm at with that.
Basic commandment.
Yeah, to love one another, to love our enemies, to pray for those that persecute us. The past few weeks, passion has been really high in our nation. And then as onlookers, you know, from other countries come in, you see some of their comments and you see some of their editorials and heaping on and causing more and more, fomenting more and more anger. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, he told his disciples, blessed are you when men say evil things about you. Or say evil things about you in my name. Okay? So it's not that they're talking bad about us for things that we've done, but it's when we're representing Jesus Christ. And maybe it's, okay, well, he says he's a Christian, but look at all of this stuff. You know, he can't be a Christian. He can't believe in Jesus. He's no disciple. Look what he does. He says, he tells everybody else, don't smoke, don't drink, don't, you know. But look what he does. He's a sinner. He hangs out with sinners. Well, go to Jesus. So, you know, we got that going for us, I guess. But whether the accusations of the past several weeks are true or not doesn't really matter at this point in time, in my opinion. Doesn't really matter at this point in time. And there's only three people, four people. There's only so many people who know the truth. The people that were there and God Almighty.
Right.
All rest is hearsay. All the rest is hearsay and conjecture and all that sort of thing. So, but with us, if people wrongly accuse us, and I'm one who has been accused, rightfully so, and I've been accused falsely, and I've seen someone stand up for me when I've been falsely accused.
And when you've been rightly accused,
well,
stand up for you.
She stands up for me. She's
right.
There to support
correct
me when I've been
yes
accused justly.
Right.
But when I've been wrongly accused, falsely accused, she's, my goodness, she's like a little badger. Okay, she can get mean, angry, she'll shake and tear up, but the stuff that she says and the stuff that she speaks, I'm like, wow, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could have that kind of righteous indignation when I protect someone's character, when I try to protect someone's honor.
Mm-hmm.
So are we lit? And I thought about this verse the last couple of days here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. It's a familiar verse. There have been Sunday school songs written about it. There's other tunes have been written throughout the years. And there's one song where the bridge that we sing, one of the Crystal's Out song, we sing about the light.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It starts, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. He was talking to his disciples. And we live in darkness. We live in a very dark world.
Yeah.
When people are against one another, I was so happy, which is maybe not a good place to be, but I was so, let me say, relieved to hear the verdict Friday that came out of Chicago. You know, that the officer, because had it been not guilty, there would have been even more.
Mm-hmm.
And why they let those verdicts out on a Friday evening, I have no idea. It's like they're holding out in hopes that it's a not guilty verdict in order to bring out anger and division and fires and riots and looting. It looks like that. It appears that way. But I was relieved to hear that just because I didn't want to see a repeat of what we've seen elsewhere. And I think there were still something like 16 shootings, homicides in Chicago over that night from Friday evening into Saturday. My hometown. Yeah. But we are the light of the world. And when there is such darkness, there's nothing else we can do. You know, we try to build bridges. We say, let's have a conversation. But then when we try to have a conversation, the other side doesn't want to listen. Or we don't want to listen. We're there and we know what's right. They come to us, they're in their place, and they know they're right.
Yeah.
At some point, we have to have peace. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. The only way we can see the light of the world is if you and I do it. You know, we've talked about helping out with Anna's class. I mean, Michelle's class. because we don't want to use real names here.
Bob's Corner.
In that one school in South Carolina. Yeah, that's it. But we, you know, we've talked about helping there and being a light, helping her to be a light in that classroom, in that school, and in the school district. I mean, it can be incredibly huge just for her and this small group that supports her. And then we've talked about the helping with poverty, being there, being lights in this world to help those that are in dire straits, dire situations. You know, it's coming up on our turn to be hit with a hurricane. I mean, we've been avoiding some pretty big storms lately. And I mean, you know, I don't want to wish that on us. But, I mean, the way statistics go, it's just, we just see it happen. Yeah. And we want to be able to be there to be light in this darkness, to help people with the trees and whatever else they might need to clean up. And I'm really blessed when I see churches, especially vineyard churches around this part of the country, from the mid-Atlantic down to the south and into the middle south down around Louisiana. Those vineyard churches that come out and help people, you know, without asking for anything at all in return. But are we lit? Are you the light? Or you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It can't. I mean, if you come up on that, that's, you know, oh, there it is. It's right there, right in front of you. You see a town, you see a city up on a hill, and especially now in this day and age with electric lighting. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, we might put a lampshade over it. We might take the lampshade off and wear it on our heads at times. I've seen that before. Tammy's brother and I, yeah, there's pictures of Tammy's brother and I wearing lampshades. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, if you need a light, you need a light. Flashlight, candle, light bulb. You need light to be able to see. Light comes in, darkness flees. Now, if we take that light that we need, we don't cover it up. You know, we aim it where we need it. We put it so that we can see what we want to see. If you cover it up, you may as well just turn it off or blow it out.
What's amazing is that it doesn't take much light to light up a room. If there's one little flicker in a room, it lights up the whole room. So in that anonymous teacher's place, if there's just one light in the classroom, if there's just one light in the whole school, it eliminates the darkness. The truth is there.
You can see. You know, there's some things where you might see shadows here and there. But so I like to sleep with the blinds open in the bedroom. Tammy's not so much a fan of it, but I like it because you can see everything. You don't, you know, it's dark enough that I can sleep.
You should wear pajamas.
But it's bright enough if I wake up and need to do something, you know, I can see. I can see quite well. So nor does anyone put nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house.
Amen.
It's there for everyone. We are the light of the world. And that light, let's just say in that classroom, that light is there for everyone. That light can cause the darkness in a child's life to be pushed out, even just for however many hours a day it is. But then that effect of that light during the week can continue as that child goes home and has to deal with poverty, a single parent, a parent or group of parents or family members who are violent toward that child, who do not put any positive energy into that child, who do not show true love and discipline. They discipline harshly. Wrongfully so. I mean, we talk, maybe they're being physically, sexually, emotionally abused. But they see a light Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And the impact that can have on that child. I know teachers in my life who were believers. From elementary school, particularly in fourth and fifth grade, particularly in my junior and senior year in high school. Teachers who were believers, professors who were believers. When I got into college, not so much. And that's probably why I was expelled. It gives light to all who are in the house. So your light helps me. Your light helps me to see. If I am in a dark place, your light shines and helps me to see. And it's true for all of us. I can choose to have a dark soul or a dark spirit or a dark attitude at work. But he's called me to be a light. That's for all of us. In verse 16, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Yeah. Let allow. It's purposeful. You have the control over the light. And what did Paul say? I am not ashamed of the gospel. And it's not that he wants to shame us into being believers. It's not that he wants us to be shamed into having this set of rules and regulations that we follow, and if we don't follow those rules and regulations to the T, at some point we're going to be disqualified. There's only a few things that we have to do. You know? There's only a few things that we have to do that are required of us. Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. You know? I mean, that's it. And if we can gain that attitude of not having enemies, that's even better.
Yeah.
You know, working toward that idea. You know what? I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to be there for you. I'm going to be a friend and help you. Mm-hmm. All those sorts of things.
And not to interrupt your...
Oh, yes.
But if you forgive people their trespasses and their recklessness and their willful sins, leaving them and letting them go and giving up resentment, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their recklessness and willful sins, neither will your Father forgive you. So you always forget that part. I always think, you know, you forget how you feel about others.
I think when Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel, he was saying that he's boldly expressing it. And I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Even if our bold expression is just living your life as a godly person. That's boldly, in this world, it's boldly expressing it.
He said he considered everything else just trash. The past was just trash. It was rubbish. It was garbage. I'm certainly not in that place a lot of times, you know, because it just keeps on revolving. I keep on seeing that trash truck come by every so often. You know, it's like, there it goes again. There it is. There's my trash. There's my garbage. I got a whole heap. You know, you should see my Mount Trash more. It's pretty darn big. So,
you know, it's a Holy Spirit balance. We can only do this with the Holy Spirit guiding us. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, it's all love. So if we just go into a room and start proclaiming Christ in a way that's not at all loving,
right,
it just doesn't work at all. It just doesn't work at all. And somehow they have to know that we're actually on their side in this whole thing and that we're not against them.
Yeah, you can't go in and start declaring someone's lost because of their lack of faith. You have to be the example to them.
You're going to hell.
So I was thinking earlier, you know, so we get into these heated political discussions or whatever, and somebody says something that we just totally can't stand or really don't believe in, and we go ahead and spout off. But, you know, if we come back the next day or something after the Holy Spirit's connected us and say, I'm really sorry I came down on you that way, I really feel bad about that and everything, that by itself is a great witness.
Yeah, that's
right. Instead of digging in, and every time we see him saying, you know, well, have you seen the correct way to look at this yet? Or, you know, just digging in. But if you just say, I'm sorry, you know, and mean it, it's a tremendous witness. Even though we were pretty heated the day before or something like that.
Yeah, we have that.
They see something in you then that's like, oh, wait a minute. I don't exactly have that. How did he manage to do that? Because I saw how, you know, how strong he felt about this yesterday, and yet he's standing here today and saying, I'm sorry.
He's, I think that God the Father is looking for it in our lives to become organic, to be real,
yes,
that love. I mean, sometimes we're doing it just to do it, you know, to say, well, and that's taking, it's making an effort, you know, putting together bags for homeless,
right,
going out and feeding homeless people or those that are poverty stricken, you know, bringing groceries to them, helping out with the light bill, different things that we can do. It may just be, you know what, I'm doing it because it's the right thing, because, but eventually, hopefully it comes in to where it's just nature. You know, there's the saying that practice makes perfect. That's not necessarily true. Practice makes permanence. And the more that we do something, the more we do it by rote. It just happens. You know, driving a standard transmission. You know, driving a vehicle that's a standard transmission. When you first start, maybe you're grinding gears, you're not hitting the clutch in time, you know, you're letting it up too soon, you're going into third instead of second. You know, different things that are just because you're learning. You're taking time to get the hand-eye coordination, the foot coordination, you know, doing the heel and toe principle, which is a lot of fun if you're driving through mountainous curves and having a good old time. That's
or Virginia Beach at rush hour.
You're hitting that clutch and you've got that racing mode going on. But or people who learn the drums, you know, where both hands and both feet are independent of one another. I admire that.
Yeah.
You know, we were watching a video Friday evening while Tammy was making dinner. I turned on a YouTube video that was the adrenal ectomy just to see what they did, you know. And I wish I had a copy of mine, but anyway, it was the same. It was the left adrenal gland that was being removed. And I sat there and watched this video, and it's amazing how it filled up the entire screen. And there was one little pincher thing, little alligator-type clip that must have been, like, really rinky-dink. And he's got a swab in there, or a, like, gauze, mm-hmm, where he's sopping up. And then he's got these tiny little scissors that cauterize. You can see the heat. You can see the steam rise up as they're doing, cutting away the tissue. And I don't know why, it was just amazing. You know, the coordination has to go on. And the thinking of, okay, I don't want to hit that. Okay, that's there. I need to watch out for that thing and get over there and cauterize what I just... So, just that... Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Doing the good works, letting the light shine, isn't for our glory. Isn't for us to get that pat on the back. Sometimes that's hard to work through because of pride. You know, we were born with pride. We were born with it. It was a gift. You know? And learning how to deal with it. Learning how to be proud of an accomplishment or putting something together, being proud of a child because of the work that they've done in school and what they've become, you know, the man that your son has grown into, the woman that your daughter has grown into and become. You can be proud of them. But there's that different kind, you know, that kind that's about our ego and self and self-indulgence and pleasing the self. We're not looking for that pat on the back. It should be that we glorify God in what we do. And sometimes they can coexist. Because as you're raising your child, your light is shining.
Right.
And you can be proud of your child, and you can bring glory to God. So the next verse is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 is important because it's Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in both the Old and New Testament. He's the Prince of Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. And in this time, in our nation, in our communities where we live, there needs to be peace. And we've seen unrest, name calling. People saying vile and disgusting things, walking in on a family trying to have dinner, stopping people in elevators, hurling insults, saying things that really probably aren't true, saying things, hurtful things, spitting on them, showing the worst side of humanity. Hearing people who are unwilling, they say we want to have a conversation, and they are unwilling to talk, unwilling to discuss some issue. If we say we want to start a conversation, darn it, you need to start it, be a part, talk, converse. It's the only way we can come to a solution. Mediate. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, this is Paul writing to the church at Thessaloniki. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with y'all. The Lord be with y'all. May the Lord of peace himself continually. What does that mean, continually? Always, right? It means always. May he continually grant you. What does grant you? You get a grant. Yeah. It's like going to college, going to university. You can get a loan, which is going to be exorbitant interest, and you're going to be paying for it for the rest of your life in some cases. And but the grant, provided you use it what the grant was given for, you don't have to pay back. So he grants us peace. And we don't have to pay him back for it. He grants us peace. Where? In every circumstance.
Yeah.
In every situation. All around us, he can grant us peace. That circumstance comes from circle and our stance. Where we are standing in this sphere of influence, he can grant us peace. And Paul says to them, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. Not necessarily on your side, but at your side. The Lord be at your side. May he be with you.
May he be with you even in a bad circumstance.
Yeah.
Because then he grants you peace to be in that area.
Well, that's why, again, one of the favorite stories, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Because God was with them. Dwelling inside and with them. At midnight, Paul went, you know what? This is great that we've been beaten and you know, everything else that we've gone through, and now we can just praise God sitting here in this jail cell in amongst the fecal matter and rats and probably hot and steamy, you know. Well, in the room. I'm not talking about the... Anyway.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that image.
It was probably not a good job to be a guard there.
Yeah.
But to be a guard there and then all the doors open, that guard was ready to do himself away.
He was ready to kill himself.
He
because
suddenly got put into even worse circumstance, and then God granted him peace too.
Yeah. It's like, don't worry, we're not going to leave. We're going to stay right here. You know? But it was in the midst of that praise where the earth shook and the gates opened, and then everybody there got saved, and then in the community, the jailer, the guard, he was saved, his family was saved, many people there in Philippi.
Let me give another example. I'm reminded when Joan's father passed away, John, he was a good Christian man all his life and everything. Like the rest of us, his faith wasn't always what it might have been. And especially in his latter years, he became a bit of a hypochondriac. And he was always afraid he was going to die or something. You know, he'd get some bad cold and this was the end or something like that, you know. And everything. And he would always, you know, really want to go see the doctor. And if the doctor told him, oh, it's just such and such, then he was okay, you know, and everything. And he sort of got worse and worse with this as it got toward the end. But then right at the end, you know, right at the end, he was in the hospital and he was having heart problems and everything. And a peace just came over him. Just a supernatural peace came over him. And I remember he said, you know, where I am now, he said, if I live through this, then I get to go home and be with my family. But if I die, I get to go and be with God. And I just thought, oh, where did that come from? Because that's just not the way he'd been the last 10 years of his life. And he passed away a few days later, and he passed away in perfect peace. And it was just God's grace that came over him like that. God is with us. God is with us.
And that ties in so well with this third and final verse. This psalm is read at a lot of graveside services, at a lot of funerals and remembrance, memorials for those who've passed on. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 2.
Yes.
So think about it. In the midst of a situation like that, you know, where you're ready to face death in the peace that the Lord can grant you, that He will give you. And then also, as we see the unrest in our nation, in our city, wherever we are, think about this. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Means I won't be in need of anything. Or I'm not going to have this aching desire to say, you know, I really need that. I need that. We don't have to have it. You know, we might be thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great to be able to make this kind of meal? Wouldn't it be great to be able to go here and order whatever we want and just have this lavish, delicious meal? But Tammy and I have taken on this attitude from the very beginning of our marriage. Better is a bowl of beans and quietness with it than a house full of feasting and strife. From dinners of nothing but top ramen and the bottom shelf hot dog, dinners that just consist of macaroni and cheese or spaghetti with just plain sauce. You know, we have all been there. We may still be there from time to time. We won't be in want. He'll give us what we need. And when we're grateful for that,
yeah.
when we're grateful for what He provides, we understand that He is our shepherd. He's leading us. We're sheep. The sheep of His hand, the sheep of His pasture. In verse 2, He makes me lie down.
Yes.
Lay down. I don't want to. Lay down. I don't feel like it. Lay down. No, I want to run. I want to hide. I want to end this. I want to go jump off the cliff. No, lay down. Lay down right here in this green pasture. You're laying down. You're getting rest. Are you hungry? You don't have to get up and go anywhere. You're in a green pasture. Take a bite. Just lean over. I love it when our cats do that. You know, they'll go up and they'll lay down by the plate or the bowl. We'll just lay there, and Mr. Fleas will just put his head over there.
While they're laying down.
And take a bite while he's laying down.
Like, I know, I can't.
You've been watching me or what? Lady, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and here, he leads me beside the quiet water.
Yes.
He leads us next to the quiet waters. where all we have to do is look and see peace. Remember elsewhere it says the shadow of death? But he's walking beside still waters. Right here on my left, there's trouble. There's strife. There's anger. There's rage. There's an opportunity for me to stick my opinion and my evil, my wickedness into that situation and have it be all about me. But I can do the other option and look over here to my right and see peace. He leads me beside quiet waters. Just have vivid memory when Tam and I lived in Northern California, going to the different, there were three lakes that we could get to. One of them was within about 5 minutes of our apartment in Lake Shasta. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Lake Shasta was beautiful. Just drive up there, you go over the dam, you come around the corner, and all sorts of spots to fish. And there's Trinity Lake, which is a beautiful lake. Really nice. A little bit further away. But my favorite of the three was Whiskeytown Lake. Whiskeytown Lake, you could go there, and no matter where you went along that shore, when the boat stopped, you could look down 6, 8, 10, 12 feet. Clear as glass water. And once the boat quit moving, it was amazing to see how calm that lake was all the time. Well, whenever we went there, or I went there with Gene, go fishing, just beautiful, clear water. And that's the image I have when I read that. He leads me beside quiet waters. We need quiet waters. We really do. We need quiet waters. Seeing things within family, seeing things that our family members are going through, some of our friends, what they may be experiencing right now. And then that division that can come up between family members that normally would be close and friends that normally would be close, but then talking politically, we look at it and maybe we think, you idiot. What are you thinking? And I know they're looking at me and saying the same thing. You know, oh, you idiot. And they're more right than I am. So. Lord, would you grant us peace? Grant us peace that we wouldn't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about ourselves and our needs. And we don't have to worry about what's going on in the world because you are in control. You know the end from the beginning. You are the one who raises up.
Yep.
You are the one who brings down. You have a plan and a purpose for everything that takes place. Would you help us to remember to be the light of the world? So if you don't know, I'm really proud of something. And Tammy understands, she knows how it makes me feel and what it means to me. I'm just going to share this with you all, and then I want to pray. And I've watched you grow up. And you don't know how it makes me feel when you call me Uncle Keith. Because not having any kids, not having any brothers and sisters, you have no idea how deep that hits me. And I have watched you. I've watched you grow up and see you. Just love you so much. And I pray for you that you would just let that love that you have for those kids just ooze out more and more. I know how much you love them. See, when we talk, just how much passion and love you have for your classes. And you have made both Tammy and I proud. And I love you like you love. I really do. Just keep pressing on. As you get tired, just look for your peace in Christ. And know that there's an aunt and an uncle over here who prays for you.
Right.
When I talk about you, I say you're my niece. When I'm at work, I really do. Last night, your mom and dad saw Skylar over there. And she was wearing toes off.
Yeah.
And I just thought about that. She, Anna, had us come over to her house for a birthday party.
You guys were my birthday party.
What's that?
She was about Skylar's age.
Yeah, probably about Skylar's age at that time. And Skylar used to live next door to Mike and Andy a few years ago. They still come and hang around. But I remember Liz got you a pair of toe socks, and you were just so thrilled. And, you know, y'all didn't know Tammy and I for very long. But that was the time when we really started hanging out. You wanted me to come and talk at your birthday.
Nice.
And then just allowing us to be a part of your life and seeing your boy and how you raise him, the kind of mom you are. And then she's really a good kid.
Yep. Amen.
And she's my niece.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't tell anybody that. Cry, okay? All right. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Kick your ass. Oh, wait. Can we edit that out there? I think that's what Jesus said after he wept. They were like, oh, look at Jesus. Oh, he's crying over there. And he's like, yeah, you better shut up. John Wayne would cry. Anyway.
And then some.
Yeah.
He restoreth my soul.
Yes. That's the peace that I love about that.
So, bless you guys. And